starting to get too many buttons to push. We'll get them all turned on. Good to see you this morning. We're thankful that your presence, as we have an opportunity to worship together, we hope that our worship pleases God. Our intent is to do that. And your presence here this morning suggests that that's your intent as well, that we have this opportunity and make available and use the opportunity that's available to us to seek the things of God in our lives, to consider what His will is for us, and to live in a way that brings honor to Him. And so, if today in your life you know that your life is not honoring God, it could be in your thoughts, it could be in something you're doing, and you know that it's not right, you know that it ought to be corrected, then we want to implore you. We want to urge you with the greatest urgency we know how to use your time today to get right with God. So don't put it off any longer. Don't delay. There's no good reason to not do the very thing today that you know that is right. To, in faith, to obey Jesus. Either to become a Christian, to be baptized into Him because you believe He's the Son of God and are willing to confess that faith, to turn your heart, change your heart about sin, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins. We implore you to do that if that's your need today. Or as a child of God, if there's sin that is in your heart and in your life, use your time now to get right with God. You don't know what you have tomorrow. You know, time is brief and fleeting. One thing that we know about tomorrow is God's already there because He inhabits eternity. And so if you're blessed with a tomorrow, do you want to be with God? God's already there. And He's here right now, too. He's in the present, even as He has been in the past. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God and to stay right with Him and to walk in truth, even as we read together from 2 John just a moment ago. I'd like for us to think about obedience this morning and what it shows. Because obedience is often viewed negatively. Now think about that with me. Isn't it true that sometimes we, and maybe very often, people think about obedience in a very negative connotation? It is viewed as something that implies something is being forced upon somebody. But if somebody obeys, and that means somehow or another they're being compelled, or they're being driven or forced to that action. No doubt, perhaps that's one of the reasons some people are so opposed to the idea of obeying marriage vows, even though God uses that terminology. But they're so opposed to a wife saying, "I will obey a husband," because to them the concept is that there's some force that's being applied, and I'm not going to yield to anybody's force against me. And so we end up thinking of obedience in a very negative and I believe unscriptural way. That's not the way God pictures obedience. Rather, the opposite is true. Obedience that pleases God is generated. It is produced from a heart of trust, from a heart of faith in God. It comes out of a heart that is devoted to God and that loves God. Did you see what that verse said? This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. 2 John verse 6. That's not some compelling thumb upon me that's pressing down upon me and forcing me to comply. Rather, obedience is generated out of a voluntary, humble, willing submission to God. And that's the question for us this morning, is why am I obeying God? Is it because I feel like I am forced to do it? Or do I understand that it is an expression of devotion that I have to God that I willingly yield to His will in my life? That it becomes, in fact, the very expression of the love that I have for God. How do we view obedience? And then, with that, what does that obedience show? You see, our obedience will show when it is the right obedience, the right kind of obedience, then it is going to reflect certain things. And that's the essence of our study. But before we look at that, please turn to John 14 in verse 15, because there Jesus just very clearly says that obedience is an expression of our love. Just as 2 John 6 had said, "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments." If you love me. Again, why the negative connotation given to obedience? Could it not be that because we have not yet yielded our heart to God, we have not yet submitted our will to His? So when we know what God says and we know what God commands, we nevertheless resist, and we view obeying His word as something that is forced upon me rather than it being what it ought to be, a true expression of the faith I have in God. To know that when God gives me a commandment, it is for my best interest. It is for my good. God commanded Israel for Israel's good, and He commands you and me for our good. So if I have a wrong view of obedience and think it's just some wearisome, burdensome thing that I must do, then I have yet to yield my heart to God. Think about that. If obeying God is an inconvenience, if obeying God is some drudgery and burden to you, what is at the root problem is the heart has not been given to God. There's not yet been a submission of my will to His. And when that's the case, I am not in fellowship with God. I am not pleasing to God. And I can go through forms of obedience all the time, and I will be lost at the end of my life because of the hypocrisy, the play acting of doing the will of God and yet a heart that's far removed from Him. This is serious business. Serious business, because we, if we're not careful, we can have all the form right. We can have the pattern right and lose our souls forever. Because part of that pattern is a heart that is yielding and submissive unto God. So, why is it that obeying God is an expression of love? That's the question I want to look at. Because, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments, or you will keep my commandments. Why is that so? Why is obedience an expression of our love for God? Have you thought about that? I hope we can do that together here this morning in three areas. Obedience is going to express respect for the love of God. It's going to express reliance upon the grace of God. And it expresses responsibility of our personal faith in God. Respect, reliance, and responsibility. These are at the heart of what obedience shows and why it is an expression of love for God. Let's explore these one by one. Obedience shows respect for God's love. In 1 John 5 and verse 3, even as we've already seen the obligation to obey, but in this passage, in fact, we could begin in verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Simply put, if we're born again, if we're the children of God, we love our brethren. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. They are not grievous. You see, when we comply to an ordinance, but our attitude of heart is, well, I have to do that. You know, I'm forced to do that. Then we're not showing a whole lot of respect for the one who puts us under obligation. Now think about this with me. You see, this is a principle of respect that ought to be taught and learned at home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, then it may be well with you and you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you. Now, why is it, children, that God wants you to obey your parents? Because, you see, it is in the obedience of the parents' instruction and will that you honor them. You see that in verse 2? Children, obey, verse 1. Honor your father and mother, verse 2. You cannot honor your mother and father when you are disobedient to them. You are not doing that. And God wants you to honor your parents. The honor, the respect for the parent comes in the obedience to the parents. And that's teaching us that obedience shows respect. When a child obeys the parent, it's because the child is showing respect for the parents. Now, as a negative illustration, the sons of Eli refused to obey him. But it was in that their disobedience to God, really, that they showed a disrespect for their father, the high priest. Eli was old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. Now, that had already been discussed earlier, and as they were base, corrupt people, they were greedy men. They corrupted the offerings, the sacrifices, and then also they were committing fornication. They laid with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Can you imagine? Where God is meeting with His people and they are bringing their offerings to Jehovah God. These men are fornicating with the women. And Eli said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people." "No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Now, he speaks to the purposes of God in that last phrase, but the point I'd like for us to see is just prior to that, when he says, they did not heed the voice of their father. Did they respect their father? They didn't respect their father. And they didn't respect God. If they had respected God and had they respected their father, they would have heeded the word of their father. They would have heeded the word of their God. You see, the idea of obeying God is because we respect God. We hold Him in honor. And so, parents, we must teach, and children, you must learn what obedience shows. It shows respect for the one that is giving the instruction, for the parent, and ultimately for God. Now, go with me to Proverbs 23:22 and see some of the wise sayings of Solomon. Proverbs 23:22, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." See, the listening here to the father implies obedience. To listen to, look at the parallelism and the contrast, really, of this passage when he says, "Listen on the one hand and do not despise on the other." Listen to your father, do not despise your mother means listen to her, honor her. See, despising is holding in contempt. He says, don't hold in contempt your mother when she is old. Listen to your father who begat you, from whom you came. So, when we listen to our parents, we are honoring rather than despising, and that lays a framework and a foundation that when we come before God and are morally accountable to God, we obey God because we honor Him, because we respect Him, because that is the principle that we learned growing up. So parents, that's our responsibility, and child, that's your responsibility that you answer to God for as well, is to honor your parents, because you see, you're learning to respect. And in that respect, you're learning how to obey God. You're showing respect for the love of God, just as you're showing respect for your parents' love for you. When your parents give you instruction and command you, you know, when they say, do this and don't do that, it's for your good. And it's out of respect for knowing that it's your good that you obey them. And likewise God. When God commands us, we know it's for our good. And we respect Him hold Him in honor and so obey Him. That's why we obey. That's what obedience shows. It shows respect for the law of God, for the love of God. In chapter 19 of Proverbs, in 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. You see, the absence of honoring, the presence of shame, is correlated here to the mistreatment of, the failure to give respect and honor and obedience to the parents. Again, in chapter 30, in verse 17, we see the outcome of such conduct. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Children, your parents are teaching you respect when they are expecting you to obey them. They are teaching you respect that will translate in you also respecting God and obeying Him. To obey your parents shows that you love them and you understand their love for you. Likewise, it is so with God. Respect for God demands our obedience to Him. This is what God expected of Israel in Deuteronomy 11. That this is the principle upon which this is built. Is God in commanding Israel and wanting their obedience, look what how He describes it. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to hold them fast, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you. See, blessing will come if you carefully keep all these commandments. But what is necessary to carefully keeping all these commandments? Well, he says, lay up God's word in your heart. Put it in your soul. Make it the very essence of your life and living. How does he describe it in verse 22? To love the Lord. You see, when you put His word in your heart, you make His word who you are, then you're equipped to obey God. It is a full expression of your love for God. It is actions, not words. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Doing the will of the Father in action is because, you see, we put the Word of God in our hearts. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16 says. But before we will ever do that, we must set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctifying your hearts, Christ as Lord. That is, you set apart Jesus Christ in your hearts. He is your Lord. Not yourself. Nothing in this world. Jesus. When you set Him apart as Lord, when He is your ruler and master, and you yield to Him, then you put His Word in your heart. You see? Then you're equipped to obey Him. And because, why? Because you honor Him. Because you trust Him. Because you know His love for you. And that's why you obey Him. Obedience shows respect. It shows our love of God. And it shows our love of God to the world. I want you to see this in John 14:31. This is the same chapter where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we appeal to that to teach people, we've got to obey God. Well, yes, we have to obey God. That's exactly right. But look here. Jesus said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Jesus says, I want the world to know that I love the Father. How was Jesus going to show the world that He loved the Father? He's going to keep the Father's commandments. You see that? He says, so that the world may know that I love the Father, just as He's commanded me, so I do. Let's go. And he goes to the cross. It is Jesus' full obedience to the Father's will, to the Father's commandment, to die on the cross, that Jesus says, I show the world my love of the Father. And brethren, it's the same with you and me. We show our love for God through our obedience to God. We show our love to the world that we love God by obeying God. When we pray, help us be good examples to the world. This is how it happens. This is how it takes place. Is that in our lives, every day, we are obeying God from our hearts. That's how we set the example to the world. That's how we do it. If we pray that, and we pray, let us be good examples. Let us be lights to the world. This is how we do it. We obey the commandments of God in our lives. And the world will see that. The world will see that. So when Jesus says, this is the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. This is the full expression of it. Because it shows the world we respect God. World, if we tell the world I respect God, but then I'm disobedient to His will, the world gets the message pretty quick. The world gets the message pretty quick. We don't really love God. We don't really respect God. It's in our obedient faith that we show our love and respect for God. That's the example set before the world. 1 Peter 2:11, and then we'll go to another point. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. The world is observing our works. Will they see good works? The good works they need to see is the obedience to the Father's will. That's why we obey, is to show the world that we love God. That's an outgrowth of it. That's a product of our obedience, is we show the world that we love God. The reason we love God is to show, because we respect Him. The reason we obey God is because we respect Him. We respect the love He has for us. Jesus respected His Father. So when the Father gave Him a commandment, He and the Father were one in heart and purpose and will and determination. And so when the Father commands him, he obeys. He yields. He doesn't resist. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't harden himself. He doesn't oppose and reject. He yields and he obeys. Now what about me and you? Does our obedience show our respect for God's love? That's what it must be showing, to follow the example of Jesus. Another reason we obey. Why is it that obedience is an expression of love? Because it shows reliance upon God's grace. When we obey God, it shows that we are relying, we are trusting upon God's favor in our lives, God's mercy and God's grace. In Ephesians 6 and verse 24, in closing this epistle, the Apostle Paul said, Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The word there is the idea of incorruptible perpetuity. Incorruptible, enduring nature of love. Never diminishing. May God's grace be with those who never stop loving the Lord, whose love never diminishes, never tarnishes. It's really the idea of never corrupts. It's a love that never corrupts. We obey because we rely on God's grace. We need that grace. And that grace is given to one who has a love that is incorruptible. Now, we've seen that a love that's incorruptible respects God and obeys Him. We rely upon God's grace to teach us how to be obedient. it is a gracious thing in your life for your parents, children, to teach you right and wrong, to expect the right and to punish the wrong and to warn you of the wrong. It is a blessing from God as for your parents to do that. You know, as children, young or old, we can begin to think that the commands, if you will, the instructions, the directives of our parents are punitive, again, in some way, or are forced in some way. But they are an expression of favor for our lives. God commands us so that we obtain favor and blessing if we will obey Him. So you see, we obey God to show that we are relying upon His grace in our lives, that we need God. And so we obey Him, trusting in His grace. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." So God's grace is available. It is provided. The benefit of God's grace is provided to every individual. And yet it's obvious that billions and billions do not respond to that grace in obedient faith. But look at what grace does for us, and understand that our obedience is a response to that. Teaching us. See? Grace teaches us. It's a favorable thing in our lives to be taught. The question is, will we learn? Will we learn? Do we want to learn from God what will bring blessing to us and then yield in obedience to it? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. So you see, first of all, divine favor teaches us to put away and reject and refuse ungodliness and worldly lusts. Reject it. Disavow it. Abstain from it. So it is a favor from God to warn us and teach us, don't do this. It will hurt you. Do not lie. That will hurt your credibility and honesty. Do not steal. See, do not covet. And on down the list. Have piety. Abstain from the lust of the flesh. It's for our good. It's when we obey and put these things away that we're relying on the grace that teaches that to us. And that grace is God's favor in our lives. It also teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. So you see, divine favor, divine grace teaches us to have good fruit in our lives. Soberly, to live soberly, suggests the exercise of self-restraint that governs our passions. If we're going to deny ungodliness, then we have to have soberness. We have to control our passions. Exercise that so that we conform to the image of Christ. Righteously. To live just toward others. To be people without partiality, without prejudice. And to live godly. Piety. And being devout toward God. Turned Godward. And to hear His will. Why? That we may obey it. Because we respect Him. And because we rely upon the blessings that He will give us. So, our obedience then shows our trust in the blessings that come from the grace of God. Romans 5:1-2. We've been studying this in our adult class. Obedience shows that we depend upon God's grace to save us. Because we know that we've disobeyed God. And faith at work, that's obedience. Faith at work shows we rely upon God's presence and God's favor and God's grace. Because we know we can't earn our salvation. We can never do enough so that God says, you deserve, you have earned the right to stand before Me. No, we've all sinned. None of us deserve it. we must have grace. And that grace is found in Christ by faith. You see, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in grace, but we stand in grace by faith. A faith that obeys God, that relies upon God. Now remember, we're not relying upon God if we're disobeying God. And we can say all we want to, God's in my life. And I'm relying on God. And I trust God. But if we're living in disobedience to the Word of God, we are not relying upon God. We've been deceived by the devil. Look, grace of God has appeared, teaching us to obey, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's obedience. Because we trust Him to bless us, as He's promised that He will. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5 and verse 1. We looked at this passage in class this morning, verses 4 through 7. It is the obedient one that will not be severed from Christ. It is the one that has the obedient faith that trusts Him and does not add to His Word, and does not remove any aspect of it from his life, but his faith working through love. That's what avails in Jesus Christ. To run well, we must obey the truth, verse 7 says. He said, you are running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? You were standing in the grace of God, in the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ, but you started disobeying God, and you fell from grace. You stopped relying upon His favor in your life. Why does obedience show love? It's because it shows that we are relying upon the grace of God, on everything God has done for us in the Son, that we might walk with Him now and live with Him forever. Let me illustrate this with prayer before we go on. Prayer. The hearing and answering of prayer is one of these blessings that we have in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. In 1 John 3, and beginning in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. Love must be active. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. So He has commanded us to love one another. In fact, John says here that when we keep His commandments, we're doing what is pleasing Him, and so we have whatever we ask. Now chapter 5 goes on to discuss that in a very similar vein. We know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Why? Because we ask in faith. We ask according to His will, verse 14 of chapter 5. Why? Because we are relying upon Him. Why do you pray? Do you pray? If we are not praying, it means we're not relying upon God. We are tacitly saying to God, by our inactivity of prayer, God, I don't need Your help in my life. Think about that. Is that the message you want to give to God? Not the message we want to give God, is it? We rely upon God in prayer. We rely upon God in every part of our life. And it is our obedience to God that shows that reliance. If you love me, see, if you rely upon my grace, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, obedience also shows the responsibility of personal faith in God. It shows that we take responsibility for our part in our life with God. Let me show that to you in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You see, obedience takes responsibility for trusting that God's way is right. It's when we respect God and we rely upon God. You see that we now take responsibility for our faith in God, for trusting that God's way is the right way. In Hebrews 11, God called Abraham. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I don't know about you, but when I decided to move someplace, I knew where I was going. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. And so he took his responsibility to obey, to have the faith to do what God says. He respected God, he relied upon God, and now he put his trust in God and took responsibility. You see, when we live a life for an unseen world, we're doing the same thing. We haven't seen heaven. So you see, we have. If we've said, I want to be a Christian and I want to go to heaven, we have said, I'm going to start a journey to a place I haven't seen. Why do you do that? Because you rely upon God to take you there. Because you see, you respect God enough to know that He wouldn't lead you astray. And so you take personal responsibility to walk by faith, not by sight. Look at that in that passage in 2 Corinthians 5. There's a couple of passages there that we refer to quite a bit. I think verse 7 of chapter 5 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But then in verse 10 it says, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of God. And knowing, then 11 goes on to say, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Let's put those two together. Verse 7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. And verse 8 then says we are confident, well pleased, to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. To walk by faith means we are committed to be in the presence of God and to walk with Him. We make it our aim to please Him. Verse 9. That's our aim. That's our goal. That we take responsibility for that. Why? Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Obedience shows that we take responsibility for ourselves before God. We have a faith in Him, and we will rely upon Him, and we will trust Him to the extent that we will obey Him because we know we're accountable people. We are responsible, and we will answer to Him in the last day. Obedience takes responsibility for making sacrifices that please God. In Hebrews 11, 19 through 17 through 19, Abraham took responsibility for doing what God said when He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, this child of promise, and you sacrifice him on the mountain. Abraham took responsibility for that. Made the preparations, made the journey, laid his son on the altar, and was about to kill him. But note what this passage tells us. He did all that by faith. He had such a faith that because God had made a promise that in this child, you're going to be blessed with a great nation. In fact, all the nations of the earth will be blessed by through the seed of this child. Verse 18. So Abraham concluded God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham took responsibility. He said, I'm going to let God do His part, and I'm going to do mine. And that's what obedience is about. Listen, this is what our obedience is about. That what we are saying when we obey God is, I can't see all the ins and outs, God, but I will let You work that out. I will take responsibility for what You want of me. I will obey You, and You, I trust, to keep Your word. That's what obedience is about. That's taking responsibility for ourselves when God commands us. Look at Philippians 3. Paul says this is about having fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Obedience says, I will suffer the loss of everything in order to gain Christ. I'll lose everything to obey Him. That's what obedience, that's taking responsibility to sacrifice whatever it is in my life, whatever it is in your life, to do what is right with God. responsibility of faith. That's what is shown when we obey. And it also shows that we are choosing the reproaches of Christ. Obedience takes responsibility for choosing the reproach that comes from others when we obey Jesus. Moses accepted the reproaches of Christ to be of greater value. You see, he said, the passage says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And boy, there were a lot. But he looked to the reward. Not the reward of the treasures of Egypt, but the reward that God would give. And so he chose to suffer affliction. He chose the reproaches of Christ, you see, to make whatever sacrifice had to be made. And let me tell you, Moses made a lot of sacrifice. Look at his upbringing. Look where he was. Look at his standing and all that he sacrificed to follow God. To choose the reproach of Christ in your life and to share the sufferings of Jesus. To defy the forces that vainly fight against the purposes of God and to receive the glory that comes. That's the call of the gospel. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you with Him be manifested in glory. You choose His reproach now and you'll be glorified with Him when He comes back. Take responsibility now to suffer whatever must be suffered to obey God. He will receive you into glory. Now, that's our faith at work. That's our obedience showing that we know we're accountable, that God expects us to trust Him, to have faith in Him, and we take that responsibility gladly. See, why do we obey? Why does obedience show that we love God? Because it shows that we respect the love of God. It shows that we rely upon the grace of God. It shows that we have responsibility of faith toward God. And so the Word of God says Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. You see, just as the Father obeyed the Son obeyed the Father in everything because He loved the Father. He respected Him and relied upon Him and was responsible to Him. You and I must obey Christ now and always for the very same reasons. Will you obey Jesus? Will you let this be the first day for the rest of the time that you have on this earth to yield your heart in willing submission, not perceiving that you are under a thumb, but out of a grand expression of devotion and love, to respect God and rely upon Him and take responsibility for your faith before God, to obey Him in all things. That's the call of the gospel, to repent and be saved in Christ this morning, being baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, or as God's people to repent and pray, turning back to Him and changing our heart toward any sin that's in our life. And we want to help you accomplish that. We urge you to come while we stand and sing. It won't be very long till the shore light of it. It won't be very long till Jesus shall be.